It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton. It is time for us to spend about 15 minutes for our weekly outdoor show. We always talk hunting and fishing and related subjects. You know, there's a big gun show coming up in Ennis at SoCo Lodge. It's out there on Highway 34 just out of Ennis, but it will be August the 9th and 10th. I'm going to be out there, and I want you to mark your calendars for that. GGA Productions puts it on. For more details, you can go to ggaproductions.org. But remember, that's the SoCo Lodge out there in Ennis, just outside Ennis on Highway 34, the 9th and 10th. It's going to be a big gun show. You know, we're always talking what I call hardcore hunting and fishing. You know, where they're biting, where's the best place to hunt. We're going to do something a little different today. I've got a good friend, and his name is Sam Tanner. He's an expert storyteller. He can tell stories that'll keep you spellbound. But Sam grew up in outside a Forney on a blackland farm. And I want you to meet Sam. He's a very interesting guy, and I think you'd enjoy spending a little time with him today. Sam, thank you for being with us, man.
Well, it's good to be here, Luke, and it's always good to see you. It tickles me when you come by the store sometime.
I love to come by and visit with you and hear the stories. But, Sam, you were born in 1936 and you was raised on a blackland farm out from Forney, Texas, weren't you?
Yes, I was, and we lived there until our family grew so big that my dad had to rent a farm that was bigger, and later on it grew so much bigger he had to rent another farm, and we moved from one farm to the next. We never did own any land. We were sharecroppers, and back in those days, most everybody was either a farmer, or they worked for a farmer, or they did something that had to do with the farm in order to make a living.
Agriculture, that was it, wasn't it? Well, back then, Sam, we're talking late 30s, 40s, and even into the 50s, you and I have talked a lot. Entertainment, a lot of that was your dad. He was also an expert storyteller. You told me you've got really fond memories of on the day, rainy days or whatnot around the farmhouse there, him telling stories, right?
This is true. My dad was a good storyteller, and I guess of all the kids, I enjoyed him more than any of them. And so I look forward to those times, they were just precious to me.
Well, Sam, let me ask you this. Now, you were a coach and an educator. Folks, Sam is a well-educated man. But I don't think all the education you had, Sam, probably made you a storyteller. I got a feeling you inherited some of that from your dad. What do you think?
Well, I think so. And also my grandfather, his dad, was a good storyteller as well. And between the two, and then from all the uncles and aunts and people around that had grown up in that era, and under those conditions, I picked up some things from them as well.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me how you could remember. It's actually kind of fascinating that you could remember all those stories and relate them to people. But you did you gave me one of your DVDs, and you had a book, Tall Tales for Young Listeners, and I was asking you, Sam, about outdoor related topics, and you had one. I want you to tell it here in a little bit. It's pretty funny, a story about a dog and a possum dog, if you will. But I want you to address something here that I've seen with my grandkids and to an extent some of my own kids that are older. We're in an era now, Sam, where it seems like electronic devices, iPhones, tablets, computers, they're somehow replacing the art of one human communicating with another by storytelling. Do you think that might be true?
Oh, I know it is. It's got to be, and that's kind of sad, but that's just the way it is. As things progress, and you know, everybody gets involved, and particularly when it comes down to the almighty dollar, you know, they're going to go the route that that brings in the most cash.
Mm-hmm. That's true, but I know when I was a kid, I was also raised in the country, although, you know, an era later than I grew up in the late 50s and 60s up in Red River County out in the country. My dad was a farmer, and actually he raised poultry, chickens, you know, chicken yeah. farmer too for a long time, and had an old country store. But I remember times when, you know, I would be spellbound sitting around listening to what I thought were old people. They were probably guys in their 50s and 60s back then, you know, but telling stories, and especially stories about hunting and fishing and things like that. But the story that you told about the possum dog, I'd sure like you to relate that to everybody, if you would, please, sir.
You bet. You know, when farmers used to get together on the rainy days and times that they had, they usually talked about a couple of things in particular. They'd talk about their mules or their dogs. And this particular time, this farmer was telling the men that was around, either playing dominoes or just shooting a bull, that he telling them what he about a dog he had. He said he had the best possum dog in the world. And there's another old fellow over there that really was into possum dogs, and so he wanted to know how come he was the best possum dog in the world. He said, well, he said, you know, I can take that dog and I can show him whichever board that I've got there, skinning board that would dry the hides on, you know, get them ready to sell, and clean them up, scrape them up, you know, and get them ready to sell. And said, all I've got to do is just set out one of those boards, and said, my possum dog will take off and he'll come back before too long with a possum that just fits the board. And said, I've never had it to fail. Said, he's the best in the world. And so this old fellow, he said, well, wait a minute, I want to see this possum dog, and I want to see him bad, because I never have seen anything like that. He said, well, I can't show him to you now. He said, an awful man old boy wanted to know why. Why can't you show him to him? He said, you're just trying to get out of this deal. You don't have no possum dog. He said, oh, yes, I do. And he said, I'll tell you what. Said, we had an awful thing that happened. Said, I always kept my skinning boards out there on the back porch. And said, when I got ready for him to bring me a possum for a board, I just set that board over there out there on the step and said he'd take off. He said, but an awful thing happened not too long ago. He said, my mama forgot and set the ironing board out there, and that dog took off and said, we haven't seen him since. I'm sorry, I can't show him.
That dog was looking for a possum as big as that ironing board, wasn't
he? That's
Sam?
Right.
And he never came back because they just don't get that big.
Well, at least he hadn't come back till yet. We don't know.
That's a good one, buddy. I thought our listeners that tune in every week and usually hear some, like I say, some hardcore hunting and fishing would enjoy a good funny outdoor story. Sam, you know, I'd like to maybe get you back in the future to tell some of these old time tales. It's very, very interesting to me, and most people that I've ever known that hunt and fish love to sit around the campfire and tell stories. So let's get you back in the future. Now, it's okay if you want to leave your phone number. The book that you wrote, Tall Tales for Young Listeners, you know that, and then the DVD, the stories, which do not include the possum story, folks. You've already heard that one, but some really good old-time stories. If they were interested in that, how would they reach you, Sam?
Well, I could be reached by telephone. I work regularly at Walmart 5 days a week, but I'm home usually about 4:30 in the afternoon, and the telephone number that at home, which my wife is excellent in taking messages, is 972-564-9653. The cell phone that I have is area 214 263 6841.
Well, Sam, thanks a lot for sharing the possum story and just some old-time talk. I've enjoyed visiting with you, and I bet our listeners have too. We'll get you back sometime to tell some more stories. How about it?
All right. You sure have a good day now.
Folks, I guess it's about time for us to shift gears and cover some what we call hardcore outdoor talk. Let's do some fishing updates. What do you say? Now, one spot, if you're heading down towards San Antonio to go for a vacation or whatever a lot of us do this time of year, Canyon Lake is an awesome spot to fish. And guide Steve Nixon down there has been guiding folks for stripers and white bass there at Canyon Lake for a long time. I was going to try to get Steve on with us this week and let him visit and give some tips, but he's out on the water fishing, and he wanted me to relay the information to you down at Canyon Lake. They're down rigging. They're catching these white bass and stripers deep, water 40 to 50 foot deep. Well, actually, they're pulling the baits down about 30 to 40 foot, and little chartreuse-colored swim baits he's using downriggers. And, you know, the water down there at Canyon Lake is extremely clear. It's one of the Highland Lakes. Beautiful place if you've never fished there. But that's the deal, catching 30 to 40 fish a morning half-day trip, which is about all anybody really wants to do this time of year because of the heat. But downrigging is the key down there right now on Canyon Lake. And if you're going down to San Antonio, down that way for vacation or whatever, you can check out the fishing. Go to sanantoniofishingguides.com, sanantoniofishingguides.com, to find guide Steve Nixon. And it's a good place to go and some really fun fishing down there at Canyon Lake. Closer to home here at Lake Fork, guide Seth Vanover does a good job of keeping all of us tuned in on the fishing. The catfish bite is going strong. He's still catching the fish deep down there, 27 to 30 foot of water, and most of them are dead on the bottom, right on the bottom. The thermocline has set in down there at Fork, Seth tells me, at about 26 feet somewhere, 25, 26 feet. Now, I fished with Seth last week. Many of you may have read my newspaper outdoor column in the Greenville Herald Banner or some of the other papers, but we experienced a really good catfish bite, but it was a very tentative bite. Here are some interesting thoughts, the reason that those catfish might have been biting softly. I mean, you could literally not even feel the tug on most of these fish, and we caught a bunch of channel cat 2 to 4 pounds, up to, I think, 6.5 pounds. But we were using punch bait right on the bottom. But the thermocline, we were thinking they were smelling the bait. They were up in the oxygen-rich water, say 26 feet on up. We were keeping our baits down right on near the bottom. Well, they were going down into that low oxygenated water, thus the soft tap. You'd barely feel them tapping. So the next time I go to Fork, which is probably later this week or early next week, I'm going to start fishing above the thermocline, even for the channel catfish. And I think that they're going to, Seth tells me they're biting a whole lot more aggressively above the thermocline. So that's a tip for you fishermen that may help you put some catfish fillets in the cooler. Now, if you want to contact Seth Vanover down at Fork, you can go online, lakeforkcatandcrappie.com. Or you can go to Facebook and like Lake Fork Cat and Crappie. But that's our catfish update for the week. And do remember, folks, catfishradio.com is the website for the hour-long hunting and fishing show that I do each week. And if you need to contact me, you can do so right there on the website, catfishradio.com. Just click on the little icon. Well, folks, that wraps our show up today. I really appreciate you tuning in. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokintex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Night Sight, Margaret Home Season Canned Goods, Shockstrap, Sun Optics USA, Sniper Hog Lights, Raptor Razor, and Snaplock Hunting Blinds. Tune in this time next week, and we're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.